You are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is a distinctly biblical, ever-multiplying, economically and ethnically diverse covenantal community calling Acadiana to follow all of Christ in all of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
It's good to see all you guys. I know we did. We just got finished with our series in Philippians, chapter 2, and we talked about the servant Jesus and how we're to follow his example and have his mind as we follow Christ in this life. And that series is now over. So it's summertime now, and since a few of pastors of the various Christ Church locations are on vacation, and many other people are on vacation right now. These next few Sundays will be what we call freebie Sundays, which we're not free from teaching the Bible. I'm not saying that, but we're not all the locations teaching the same out of the same passage and with the same themes. So we're all essentially on our own these next few Sundays. So I thought for these next two Sundays, I'd like to preach a series that I've really wanted to preach for a long time, but really haven't had the opportunity until now. And the theme of this series, it's just a two-message series, not very long. This series is really basic to the whole Christian message. And it's one that I hope and pray will be helpful to you. And hopefully it will show some of you the way out of the woods, so to speak. And how many of you know some of us may be in the woods? I'll explain more of what that means in a minute, but some of us are in the woods and we don't know how to get out. So I hope that this study in the scriptures will be God's way to get you out of the woods. Amen. And you know, some of us are in the woods, but many of us are out of the woods already. But we've never really appreciated how much God did when he got us out of the woods. Amen. And we won't appreciate it until we see some of the truths we're going to look at today. And I hope that those of us who are out of the woods after this series will be able to show other people who are still in the woods the way out. Those are my hopes for this sermon series. So I pray this message helps everyone, whether you're in the woods or not. So you may be asking, what are the woods? What is the woods? Well, I'm using that analogy for the involvement of many men and women who find themselves in the midst of life unable to answer the most basic questions about life. Now, let's say this morning I passed out pencil and paper to each one of you and ask all of you to write down the most basic questions that any human being could ever grapple with. What questions would you write? What are the most profound questions that a teenager can ask? A 10-year-old can ask? An 80 or 90-year-old man or woman can ask? What would you put on your list? Well, I would like to think that you would write something down other than what shoes or outfit that you're going to wear next Sunday. I'm hoping these questions are a little bit more deep than that. Or what kind of car should I buy? I would like to think that you would write down such questions as these. What am I? What am I? Now, yes, I know I'm a human being. You know, I have two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, a nose and a mouth, but really, what am I? Here's another question. How do I fit into the great scheme of the universe with all its complexities? It's another question I hope you would write down. Or maybe you would ask, what is the basis and standard of my conduct? How do I know what's right and what's wrong? Here's another one. How can I know what happens to me when my time comes to an end on this earth? Where will I be? What will I be doing? What is it that lies beyond the grave? I hope you will write down questions of this nature. Who am I? What am I here for? What is the basis of my conduct? What can guide me as to the knowledge of right and wrong? What happens beyond the grave? See, those questions form what I'm calling the woods. That's the woods. Life's most basic questions. And you know, this country of ours in the world at this very moment is literally bursting at the seams with people who don't have an inkling to, don't even know where to begin of how to even start to even answer these most basic questions. There are many, many people in this country, in our neighborhoods, that they are deeply lost in the woods and they don't even know it. Now, some of you, by God's grace, have begun to answer these most basic questions. But maybe you've never really seen the basis on which you get your answers. See, it's really important to appreciate that basis. Amen? Some of you may be answering them, but you may be answering them from an entirely wrong perspective. And then, as we seek to witness to people, as Christians, we ought to be able to help them out of the woods with these questions based on the correct perspectives and lead them to the clear light with biblical answers. Amen? So that's the theme of our series this morning and next Sunday, God willing. Life's most basic questions and how to answer them. Now, as we think about these questions and how to answer them, there are only two sources that we can get our answers from. Two sources. Either the answers must come from within us, or, you know, based on our own observations and conclusions, or the answers must come from without us, from somewhere else, outside of us. The answers either must come from within us, all our own observations and conclusions. Those are the only two possibilities of how we can get the answers to these questions, either inside of us or outside of us. Everybody with me so far? So let's consider these quickly before we move into the answers themselves. You know, one option, you can look within yourself and attempt to find the answers to these basic questions like, what am I? I mean, I can look inside myself, right? I'm an intelligent, complex creature, right? Capable of reason and capable of drawing conclusions. So maybe I can do like the ancient philosophers have done and sit and make observations about the universe. And then I could sit and put all of my conclusions together, and then I could declare what man is. And I can declare what man's purpose in life ought to be. You know, this has already been done with the so-called philosophers and theologians of the past ages. And these days we have scientists and we have all kinds of people saying that the way to answer these questions of life is to look within yourself and draw your own conclusions as you look at the world and the universe through your own eyes. Many of them say that man is capable on his own to find the answers to these most basic questions. But there are some problems with this idea of looking within yourself for the answers. Now I know many of us won't remember this. Many of us weren't alive when this was going on, including myself. But take the hippie movement, for instance. Think about that for a minute. What you've read in history books. Some of you, by what you've had of personal experience. The hippie movement. They found out in the hippie movement that as people were trying to look within themselves for the answers to these questions, all they were coming up with was nonsense. So the hippie generation said, well, maybe if we took these mind-altering drugs, maybe we would really finally be able to make some sense out of this world and get behind the rational mind and go to the subconscious. Maybe then we will find the purpose of our existence. Maybe then we will be able to get some answers and discover the basic meaning of life. But even then, they came up with a blank to even the life's most basic questions. They still drew a blank. They couldn't find a satisfactory answer. And that's the mantra of this day and age. It's not much different. I mean, how many of you heard? Just discover your own truth. Live out your own truth. We've heard these things just recently. Find the truth that gives you meaning. Doesn't matter if it's not someone else's truth. Find what's true for you. See, that's looking within, right? And the suicide rates of Americans have never been higher. Why? Because they aren't finding any real answers by looking in themselves. They're not finding it. And they figure, what's the point? If I can't find it, I might as well kill myself. What's the point of existing? So it's becoming obvious, I hope, that you can't find the answers to the most basic questions of life by looking within. See, by thinking you can find the answers from within, it assumes too much, right? I mean, to find these answers by looking in assumes that, first of all, I have to know everything about myself and everything about the world around me in order to make a good conclusion about what I'm all about. I mean, essentially, I would have to be omniscient to be able to do that, to be able to draw every conclusion from every piece of data in order to determine the meaning of life. It simply can't be done. I don't have that ability, right? It's not the answer. Looking within. So there's only one other way to get the answers. By looking outside of yourself. That's it. That makes sense. I mean, really, who is the only one equipped to tell me what I'm here for? The God that put me here, of course, right? Who is the only one who is prepared to tell me the meaning of this world and my relationship to it? Can it be me? No. It must be the one that created this world and put me in it. So the answers can only come from without us, outside of us. They must come to us, not by way of observation and conclusion, but by revelation, divine revelation, by God speaking to us and telling us the answers. See, this is just what God has done through the Holy Scriptures. That's why the psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word is to give understanding to the simple. I'm sinful and I'm blind. And there's no way I can know on my own what I'm here for. It's us simply crying out to God, saying, "I need your help. I need the answers to come from the one that made me." And the psalmist says that this is the purpose of the Word of God, to give us the answers to life's biggest and most basic questions. Amen? Jesus even attested to this, that the answers to life's most basic questions are found outside of us in terms of the revelation that God has given to us. One place he talks about this is in Matthew 22. Please turn there. I want to show you something in Matthew 22. Matthew 22 describes some people who had some questions about the world to come. They were talking about death and the resurrection, and they were all mixed up. But for some reason, they thought they had a pretty airtight case. And so they came to Jesus with their case, and they said, "Lord, here's the problem. Here's the issue." And they laid out the problem before him, and they really thought that they had stumped Jesus with this problem. And Jesus answered them. Here was a basic question regarding death and resurrection and the world to come. And Jesus answered them, saying in verse 29, look at verse 29. He says, "You are wrong. You're still in the woods, man. You're all in the woods. Why? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." He's saying, if only you would consider the answer with scripture. Consider the answer with scripture. If you do that, you will get out of the woods. Right now, you're just going around in circles in the woods. And you think you've got a problem that just can't be solved. Your problem is that you're ignorant of the scriptures. God has given the answer. And if you knew the answer, you wouldn't be asking me this question. See, that's sort of an introduction to the topic this morning, the answers to life's most basic questions. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of answering these questions. How do we even begin to answer these questions? What am I here for? What's my purpose in life? Who or what determines right and wrong? You know, we've got to find out these answers by looking outside of ourselves, particularly looking to what God has to say in the Bible. And I'll add that the Bible provides a beautiful framework in which to answer these questions. And I see it as sort of a threefold framework, a triangular framework, if you will, in which these questions can be answered. So, I mean, if I had a blackboard, I would use it. But just imagine with me. Imagine a triangle right here. And at the top of that triangle, we have the doctrine of creation. The doctrine of creation. Not just the doctrine of creation, but the doctrine that God created man in his image. That's at the top point of the triangle. You know, you'll never be able to answer life's most basic questions without understanding that God has created man in his image. Because it's the doctrine of creation that gives us the foundation of all religion and all morality. Amen? That's where God starts in the Holy Scriptures. And that's where I want to start this morning. I doubt we'll get any further than this first principle. We'll continue the other two, God willing, next Sunday. But let's start with the first. God created man in his image. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the summary statement in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And then everything that follows that verse is the result of the creating work of God. Amen? And then we have the account of the 6 days of creation, climaxing all the way up to the creation of man in chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Go ahead and turn there. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Here we have a statement. We have a statement with implications that we may not fully understand, but the fact of which is clear. Man was made in the image of God. We see it right here. And something is said here about the creation of man that was not said about anything else that was created. He only said of man that they are created in our image and in our likeness. Only of man he said this. So what is God saying? God is communicating to us that man is a qualitatively different creature than anything else in creation. That's what he's saying here. Now, until I grasp that, I have no basis for religion. Until I grasp that, I have no basis for morality. I have no basis for anything in life. That's why we find so many people today lost in the woods. They don't have any of this foundation laid in their lives. Because most of them have not grasped this most simple fact that man is a qualitatively different creature than all other creatures. Why is Scripture so clear at this point? Because man made in the image of God is what makes man absolutely different. As we mentioned, in these respects, number one, man, unlike the animals, is made with a capacity to know God. Man, unlike the animals, is made with a capacity to know God. See, man was made to know God. That is, to exist in a relationship of conscious, intelligent communication with God. That's what makes us different from the animals. See, that's why we don't pray that our cats and dogs come to know and love God like we can our children and our neighbors. Why? Because our pets aren't made to know and love God and rule with God like we are. We're different. God made us distinctly different from them. And this distinction is described in more detail in the second account of creation in Genesis chapter 2, where you find this flow of communication between God and the creature that he's made. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then he made every tree come out of the ground that was pleasant to the eye and good for food. And now look down at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." Then the picture in Genesis 3, when it speaks of the Lord God, look at verse 8. And this is after they disobeyed God and they're in a state of shame and panic and all of these things. Verse 8. And they heard, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, many commentators say that this was something that God had begun to establish as a pattern, a routine, when he would come in a visible manifestation and take a walk with Adam and Eve. Man, isn't that a touching picture of intimate friendship? Intimate friendship, real heart-to-heart communion between God and Adam and Eve. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it takes me back to when Stacy and I were dating. You know, I remember the walks we would take in the different parks where we lived. In Girard Park, we took walks there. We took walks at the park in Rockwall. I can't remember the name of it. Harry Myers Park. You know, we took walks. You know, and when you're walking together, when we were walking, we didn't have to say anything. We just walked together, just being with her. Walking with her, that satisfied me and made evident the heart-to-heart communication we had with each other. I mean, how much more so between God, who knows us so much more intimately than our spouses ever could. See, that's the picture here of the relationship that man was made to have with the Lord God. That's the picture of this beautiful heart-to-heart communion that God had with Adam and Eve, walking together, hand in hand. Amen? And that's why we describe the Christian life as walking with Christ, walking with the Lord Jesus. As the hymn says, "Just a closer walk with thee." You know? There's a reason why that hymn says that. That's what we were made to do. We were made to experience this relationship with God, walking with him in deep love and communion. That's why it was said of Enoch that he walked with God. It had all those implications of intimacy built into it. That's the picture of man, not said of any other animals, because man alone had this capacity to know God and to communicate with God. That's why the Lord Jesus said that the essence of eternal life is man being restored to this knowledge of God. John 17:3, Jesus' high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." See, that's the soul's deepest desire. Fellowship with God. Amen? This is what we were made for. Fellowship with God. That's why so many people we know are in the woods. They're trying to satisfy their souls with everything else. But the one thing that their soul will truly get nourishment from and satisfaction from, and that's a true intimate relationship with their Creator. That's what they're missing. That's the only thing that can satisfy the soul of a man. And what are they doing? They're in the woods. And they're trying to fill the void that they have with academic degrees and careers and houses and cars and electronics and stuff. All to try to get the satisfaction that really only one thing can give, right? An intimate relationship with Almighty God. See, man is not a true man until he knows his God. So man, what's man tried to do this day and age? They've tried to liberate themselves from all of these rules and all the regulations, trying to concoct this new morality. He says, we're going to liberate ourselves from these old medieval concepts, right? What's this about a personal devil? We need to chunk that out. What is it about those dark, depressing concepts of those old Puritans? What nonsense. Let's throw it all out. We're going to liberate ourselves. We're really going to find the meaning of life. And all of that junk just holds us back. Isn't that the mantra of the age these days? We do all that, we're going to find out what life is really all about. Then we'll really find out who we are. We've got to get rid of all those old-fashioned encumbrances. See, we as a generation have been trying to liberate ourselves for quite some time. But really, has our generation really found the answers to these basic questions? No, they haven't. They're still coming up with a blank. Drug use? Through the roof. Incarceration, imprisonment, through the roof. Suicide rates, through the roof. As the great philosopher Bono says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. That's it. Man, praise God, by His grace, He has given us the answers to these questions. Amen? By His grace, He's given us the answers. By His Word, He has shown us, by divine revelation, the answers to life's most basic questions. And he says that it all starts with knowing who God is and knowing that man is made in his image and that he is made to know God and have intimate friendship with him. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. That's how you begin to get out of the woods. The foundation of everything. That top point of the triangle. Man was made to know God. Look, this morning, you may have been a Christian so long that you've taken it for granted that you're out of the woods. That's easy to do. If you're a Christian for any length of time in a comfortable environment, a comfortable place, not really feeling the pressures of persecution or affliction, it's easy to take it for granted that you are out of the woods. That you know and you understand the most basic principles of life. You know, that you can answer the questions of who you are and what your purpose is. It can be easy, though, to forget that at one point, that you were just as lost as the rest of this generation at one time. It's easy to forget that if you're a Christian any amount of time. So I hope this morning this message has begun to rekindle an appreciation and a love for God, for Him opening your eyes. He opened your eyes. You were just as lost in the woods as many, many people that we know today. We were right in the thick of it, just in the woods. But He did something in your life by His grace. He opened your eyes so you can begin to see the truth and you can value the truth. And you begin to read and study the Word and begin to understand the meanings and the answers to life's most basic questions. So I hope this message this morning will cause you to worship Him and praise Him for all He's done in your life. Also pray this message will give you motivation to help others who are still in the woods. We all know of people who are still in the woods. We know it. I hope this message this morning will give you motivation to help others who have no idea how to answer these most basic questions. To help those who are frustrated and beating their heads against the wall because they can't get their souls satisfied. Pray that this will rekindle your love for the lost. For those who don't know that man was created for intimate fellowship with God. I pray that this message by God's grace will give you patience as you deal with the lost and as you pray for them and talk to them about these things. I also hope that for some of you who may be in the woods and not know it, that this message would be used to show you what dire circumstances you're really in. Some people hadn't thought about these questions for more than 2 seconds of their lives. They've never really sat and pondered, why am I here? What am I doing? They're so bombarded by all the distractions of the world, all the materialism of the world, all of the information and the lines being fed to them by the world. They haven't even had a chance to get away from a screen long enough to even look at the sky and contemplate these questions. Living it up. Living it for the pleasures, living for the pleasures of the world and the comforts of this world, completely missing the reason they exist. They're in the woods. And that may be you this morning. I pray that God has begun to open your eyes to the fact that you're lost. You're lost, and God is showing you the way out. He's showing you the way out. Isn't that great news? I really hope He is. Amen. Like I said before, we've only seen one point of the triangle, and there's two more. So by God's grace, we will look at those two points next Sunday. Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christchurch. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.